WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Lisa Nichols with you until 9 o'clock tonight. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. 617-627-3800. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com, Big Picture WMFO. Go find us over there. We need more likes,
like
followers.
Those little thumbs up.
Like people who are into us, yeah. Because we've been stuck at this number for like 3 weeks now.
I thought
you were going to go like
over
bother people.
700 people looking at individual posts. But
because they share them with their friends. And it's
to,
like.
You have to like the page.
Tell your friends to like share with us, because then you get the good stuff all the time. Coming up later tonight, you've been hearing about them everywhere. Yes, it's the Panama Papers. And we're going to get to the bottom of what those are, what they mean, how they are relevant to your world. Because they are in interesting ways.
Hmm.
In very interesting and non-obvious ways. So if you think this one doesn't affect you, it does, right?
And it definitely this week is much more exciting than last week. We actually have news. And as I was saying to Derek, we're going over show ideas for this week. These are the kind of stories that we wait for.
Yes.
Once that broke on Sunday night, I was, salivating at the
news. News snooze is over. News snooze is over in a big way. I don't know what was going on last week, but all of a sudden, everything comes back in a big way.
Yeah,
so,
I hear government corruption. I just, it gets me
excited. We got a lot to catch you up on. I probably won't have time to rail against how awful that Walking Dead finale was. It just...
Still have not caught up. We're not talking about it.
That's my advice. Don't give up now.
I've been trying to avoid social media.
There's nothing to avoid. No,
because everybody has that one friend that spoils the entire thing.
There's nothing to spoil. That's the problem with it. And when you see it, you will be as enraged as the rest of us. I have to give it credit for this. I actually had a nightmare about it on Sunday night. Yeah, I had a nightmare about
it. Maybe that was the plan from the producers.
And
left up to your own imagination.
On the one hand, I'm so done with like the stupid stunts the show is pulling that are just insulting to my intelligence and a waste of a character-driven show that I want to stop watching it. On the other hand, the last media that gave me a nightmare was Jurassic Park. All the way back in 1993.
Understandably so.
You know, I am incredibly resilient when it comes to this stuff, and I had a nightmare about Negan the other night. Yeah. So
Hillary Clinton often haunts my dreams.
Oh, well, that's an ongoing nightmare.
Yeah, that's just a...
That's America's long national nightmare, and it drags on. But we'll find out more about that in a minute. What's going on in the world, Lisa?
Well, today in local news, we learn after 3 years since Boston Marathon bombing, security will remain tight. Authorities said Wednesday that security will remain tight for the 120th running of the Boston Marathon on April 18th, but assured the public that they know of no specific threat to public safety. Quote, "There's no articulable or credible threat to this date," said Harold Shaw, special agent in charge of the FBI Boston Division. Shaw and other law enforcement authorities outlined security preparations for the race at the news conference in Boston. It'll be the third running of the world-renowned race since the Boston Marathon bombings. In the planning stages for 6 months, security plan will involve nearly 5,000 federal, state, and law enforcement officers that will patrol the 26.2-mile route by land and air. Quote, "I feel strong that we have a well-thought-out plan and will continue to be updated as needed as a race day approach," Shaw said. The state police air wing will fly over the route. Law enforcement officers in uniform and plain clothes will patrol on foot through the eight communities along the route. Security cameras will also be positioned along the route, officials said. Now, of course, we are going to have heightened security after what happened in Paris, San Bernardino, in Brussels. They are slightly modifying the changes of what they've been doing for the past couple of years. I think after initially the first year back, if anybody did go to either the game or went to the marathon to watch it, you know, it was a hassle, but it was a hassle that all of us accepted and appreciated, understanding what happened the year before. Now, knowing of everything that's going on and not necessarily these sort of things where you have large amounts of people, they're targets. Not saying that something's going to happen, but it's always a possibility.
Yeah.
So to know that they're on top of this and changing their game plan makes me feel a little bit safer.
Well, I don't know how much you can change the game plan. By the way, leave your purses and drones at home.
Drones, yes, this year.
You can't bring your drone to the marathon. And if you were hoping to race your drone in the marathon, sorry, drones will not be allowed. Will someone please sue on behalf of the drones? Mm-hmm. Drones should have a right to run the marathon just like everybody else.
No, and in every year I do go to the marathon, but I also attend the game. After the marathon bombing, I stopped going to the game just because it became so difficult. Not only are you facing security that's going into on Boylston Street if you're coming from the opposite side, more down, Boylston, where the finish line is, you have to go through that security in and out. Then again, in and out when you go underneath through the Kenmore T station.
So
then once again across. So it's a lot of work.
So you're not buying that ticket for my wife? Is that the point that you're making? Is that one of the games that you're not interested in?
Going to that
one. That used to be one of the hottest tickets.
Oh, absolutely.
To sell. And it actually still commands a pretty good aftermarket value. Mm-hmm. But
well, even an 11 o'clock game,
But it's not what it used to be. Mm-hmm. And if the security keeps up, because what happens is all the season ticket holders know now. And unless you really, really want to see baseball that day, you're selling that ticket. So there is a certain number of rubes, as they're called in the industry, who will go and buy that game, not knowing that they are about to step into a Gestapo nightmare.
Ladies, do not bring any sort of purse. I mean, if you would, Derek, you walk around with nothing, you know, no handbag, satchel.
No pants.
So you're walking in and out very, very quickly.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, that we're seeing in the past couple of years, before you were able to, whether you were in Hopkinton or down in Brookline, you were able to sit on the side with your, you know, picnic basket, your coolers, drinking with your blankets out. Now you are not allowed to do any of that. So not only am I talking about in the suburb communities, I'm also talking about in the cities as well. Because there's that small area right before they go in the underpass, before it hits, I believe it's Harriseth and Boylston.
Yeah.
A lot of people congregate on that kind of grassy knoll in the middle. Everybody has, you know, the coolers out and blankets. Not so much anymore. You're pretty much seeing everybody just standing around.
Are they cracking down on the red Solo cups? Because as long as I can have my red Solo cup, I'm all good.
No, that's everybody standing up top in the windows.
Yeah. That's the thing, is if you want to watch it now, you need to know somebody who's on the route. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can stand and watch, but you can't do anything else.
Oh, and absolutely. And I mean, I don't take, you know, anybody, saying anybody should not go to it, because it is, it's one of the best things that the city has to offer. It is such a huge event. And it's an amazing thing to see.
You're only saying that because you haven't experienced Formula One racing in the Seaport District.
That I'm already hating. It's so long away, and I'm already hating it. But, you know, people need to prepare on what they're getting themselves into when they're going to it. Yep. Whether you're, as I said, going in one of the smaller communities or you're watching it near the finish line. You are going to have heightened security. Go along with it. Just make it much, much more easier for these people that have to search you, open your bags. They're there all day. Let's take care of the guys that take care of us.
Generally speaking, I found the marathon crowds to be pretty agreeable people.
Oh, absolutely.
It's usually a good crowd that turns out for the thing, but
everybody's day drinking. It's fun. And especially when you have good weather, it's one of the best days of the year.
I'm going to be in Newport, so not,
oh, yeah, it's your wedding.
I have a wedding to go to, so no marathon for me this. Personally, until I have kids and they express an interest in going, I'm not going back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I've done it. I did it for a few years when I was at BU. It was the fun thing. Let's go hang out on the marathon route. And yeah, it's fun to watch. It's fun to cheer on the athletes. But unless you're really into crowds and a lack of mobility, it's not your scene.
And I mean, that depends where you go. You can't say that completely.
You can't get from one side of the street to the other outside of Kenmore Square.
Now with security, no.
So that's a problem. Well,
no,
probably,
absolutely.
The last stretch was always like that.
If you are going, have a plan. Well, many of these people get there early because we're talking about all the restaurants down on Boylston Street have events that start early in the morning, whether it be at, you know, where the old forum is You know, Atlantic Fish has an event going on. What's the other steak place over there? Avon Louie's has an event going on, Capital Grill. So get there early. Have a plan for where you're going to be. It is crowded, but it's an amazing thing to watch.
Drinking before noon, kids. It's just like St. Patrick's Day. In national news, the chance of a contested Republican convention rose dramatically on Tuesday as Senator Ted Cruz won the Wisconsin primary with 48.2% of the vote, followed by Donald Trump at 35.1% and Ohio Governor John Kasich at 14.1%. Ted Cruz claimed 36 of the 42 delegates up for grabs, but still trails Trump in total delegates, 743 to 517. With the Northeast expected to go to Trump, Cruz could play spoiler by winning enough delegates in the Midwest and West to prevent Trump from getting the 1,273 delegates needed to claim the nomination on the first ballot during the Republican National Convention. For the Democrats, Senator Bernie Sanders easily won over Hillary Clinton, 56.6% to 43.1%. Sanders won voters between the ages of 18 and 29 by an 82% to 18% margin, illustrating the lack of interest younger voters have in Clinton's candidacy.
As Trump would say, huge, huge win.
Huge. Win for Bernie Sanders.
I was surprised when I got the text alerts that first came in.
Did they just
Sanders
say,
had won.
Huge.
Huge, just huge.
Huge.
Sanders had won, and then a few minutes later following, Cruz had won. I was more surprised by Cruz winning, and we had this conversation last week and saying, you know, Wisconsin is one of those states where, you know, you have working class Americans, but sort of evangelical. It's a complete mix, so it could go either way. You have going on right now momentum from both the Cruz camp and both the Sanders camp. And what the media is focusing so much on right now is that disrupt in the Republican, the GOP, where actually you have the same thing going on right now in the Democrats, but it is not getting reported as much.
No, because the media is solidly in the Hillary Clinton camp, and they have made that abundantly clear.
Now, they're, if we look at
Hillary backers, they're Hillary campaign contributors. If you are watching CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, any of these, they are Hillary Clinton supporters.
After the win yesterday, Sanders is now at 7 out of the last 8 states he has won. You have, like, playoff push-style momentum in both of these camps.
He has to do something impressive. He has to win New York, and he has to win New York by more than 0.2%. If he can come in and he can win New York by 4 or 5 points, that's a game changer.
Could you imagine?
Suddenly.
The mental game. And you've already been seeing the mental game kind of adjusting right now on the Clinton campaign, because she got a little shattered. You see her stepping off the past couple weeks, not so many talking points. Look at her today. She was on every single news cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about Bernie Sanders and how he doesn't have positions on gun control. He doesn't have positions on foreign policy. After one after another, she had guns blazing, realizing what is going on.
Yeah.
And as you say, if Sanders can take New York, that would be unbelievable. And in Hillary Clinton still states New York is her home turf. You know, we're
it's
getting
not,
into,
she's from Alabama.
Yeah. We're getting into
Arkansas,
these
excuse
more
me.
Diverse states. So New York we're going into next. We're going into California.
I don't think it's even a question of diversity. Bernie Sanders' primary appeal is among young voters. And
but I mean, you can say diverse in the sense of you have a lot of inner city and then a lot of suburbs, very, very scarce small towns, both in California and New York.
If we talk about New York, where the majority of the votes are in the southern third of the state, northern New York is a giant, vast wasteland, much mm-hmm. like Vermont, northern Maine. Very few people in a very dispersed area. They're probably going to go for Sanders. I could see all the small towns up there because they're next to Vermont, very similar beliefs, very similar views. They're going to go for Sanders. But they have a much, much smaller percentage of the population up there. Really, the island of Manhattan is a major decider of elections in New York. And What have you got? Well, Hillary Clinton is the Charles Manson of politics. She can get educated women of a certain age to do whatever she asks them to do. So she's going to win them. The young people who would normally break for Bernie Sanders are all on Wall Street. And they're all in marketing. And they're all in finance. And they see Bernie Sanders as a threat to their jobs.
He wants to break up the banks.
And to their industry. So they're going to stay with Hillary Clinton because she's their candidate.
But the thing is, I think that more people are waking up and actually becoming educated on these candidates, waking up and realizing what a tainted candidate she is.
Oh, she's terrible in that regard.
And it is, to me, amazing to see that people are going out and, as I said, 7 out of the last 8 states he has won. And I'm not talking about just one region.
Right. And still, by the way, possibly subject to an indictment by the Justice Department over the whole email thing.
And as we'll talk later about the Panama Papers, I'm just waiting for the Clinton Foundation in bold letters to pop up in those.
I have a feeling we're not going to see them, although we may see a number of people who have had dealings with them. There's some very interesting things about the Panama Papers that we will get to later in the show tonight. In world news, scientists are expressing growing concern over the risks to health from the Zika virus. Field data and autopsies have strengthened the link between Zika and microcephaly in newborns, a condition where the infant's head has a below-average size, as well as the paralyzing Guillain-Barré syndrome in children and adults. Doctors in Paris traced a case of meningocephalitis to Zika exposure, while another French team pointed to Zika as the cause of a paralyzing infection in a 15-year-old girl. Scientists are now considering the possibility that Zika can trigger a wide range of neurological infections by reproducing in the brain and spinal cord, and that the virus has evolved into a more dangerous pandemic strain.
Yeah, that's becoming a very, very big mess.
Late today, the White House announced that it is committing $500 million to mosquito eradication on the Gulf Coast and in the southern states. This at the same time that the Centers for Disease Control warned that the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which spreads this virus, could make it as far north as New York and Ohio this summer.
Now, they were talking about these communities down, less impoverished communities around the Houston area and the Gulf Coast are very similar to those in Brazil and in the climates and whatnot. So it's a breeding ground for these mosquitoes. Now, the $500 million you're talking about, that's actually transferred from the Ebola fund that moved over. Now, in February, the Obama administration actually asked Congress, we talked about on the show, asked for $1.8 billion. Of course, you know,
still waiting for it.
Congress comes back and says, use up all the money that we, you know, first previously allocated to Ebola, which never really came.
We will confirm a new Supreme Court justice before that money actually gets released, is I think what's going to happen.
Republicans
here
are just holding on to it so tight.
Don't give Obama anything that he wants, even if it will save people.
You know, just in the United States and the territories, we're looking at 672 people have been affected with this. 64 people that were pregnant. This spreads very easily.
Are they rich white people?
No.
Okay. Until some rich white people come down with the Zika, nobody's going to do anything.
So what you're saying is we don't care if they're poor.
I'm not saying that we, Lisa Nichols and Derek Gehry,
don't care
if
everybody.
They're poor. I'm saying that the mobilization of government forces is to some extent controlled by the influence of the Senate and the House of Representatives. And unless you have wealth in this country, they're not going to help you.
So basically what we're saying is all of the Gulf Coast communities, we're just going to spray some mosquito repellent and call it a day.
It is an election year. That may help. And it's a good thing it's an election year, because if it wasn't, I don't think anyone would be spending so much as a dime on the Gulf Coast. They'd be sitting around saying, Zika, how did that get here?
Do you think we're going to get to a point where we would see Texas possibly in a state of emergency? I mean, what would that take? How many people would need to be infected?
It's a tough call. The problem, the infection rate, from what I've been able to glean from what's been published lately, is only about 1%. Like 1% of people who are exposed to Zika will come down with Guillain-Barré or some other bizarro neurological disease.
And also, as we discussed before, can be sexually transmitted.
Right. Now, that 1% that gets these illnesses becomes paralyzed or severely cognitively disabled and needs to be cared for by the state for the rest of their lives. So if you're talking, you know, 1 out of every 1,000 people in the United States of America, it's actually less than 1%. It's about 0.1%. That's a problem. And especially in a very populous state like Texas or a very populous state like Mississippi, which already struggles to provide basic health care services to its people. Something like Zika could completely devastate a state like that. I don't know what the response would be. Obviously, they're going to start looking for more federal dollars for something like this. The feds are going to come back and they're going to say, we don't have any money. We gave you money to spray for mosquitoes. Did you spray for mosquitoes? But that's not the full solution here.
Do you think that people, I mean, is it naive in Congress for them to say, well, look at what happened with Ebola? It was this big mass epidemic that was about to take over the United States. Never actually did. We had, you know, dozen cases. Are they using this and saying the same thing? Well, it's down there. It's in South America, Brazil. It's not going to affect us. What's a few cases here and there in the Gulf Coast?
You're dealing with a very different problem, because with Ebola, the source of illness transmission was a lumbering bipedal creature that would keel over and die at a certain point. With Zika, we're talking about mosquitoes. And if you've ever been down south, you know that there are about 1,000 mosquitoes per square foot of land. And the idea that you're going to get rid of all of those mosquitoes is insane.
It's impossible.
It's not. Any spraying that you do, any warnings that you put out, you're really better off giving everybody mosquito netting.
Could you ever see?
That's what they've done in the third world, in places like Africa and some of the poorer South American countries, to stop the spread of things like dengue fever.
Now, could you ever see any of the warnings that were coming out of Brazil and saying, stop having babies?
Yes, I can
stop.
Absolutely see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
Once Zika gets established in one of these states, there will be an order that comes down
from the CDC and recommending.
Probably from the state health agency rather than the CDC, because the CDC is only going to issue a statement if it affects the nation as a whole.
And that is so shocking to me, because when we first discussed that and what was happening in Brazil and the government coming out and saying, we recommend you not getting pregnant.
Yeah.
We're not talking about a third world country here. We're talking about Brazil. Now, thinking about the United States, is that even plausible to anybody to think Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, any state, one of those coming out and saying, you know what, just stop having children?
Well, what you're actually asking people is to stop having sex, which is not going to happen at all. We know that's not going to happen. We don't do well with those kinds of instructions. At all. We just don't deal
with
them.
We're only
human. So,
you don't need the day.
You will get responsible people to stop having sex. You will kill the tourism industry, because people from the northern part of the United States, especially women of childbearing age and their partners, are going to be terrified to go to Florida, California, Texas, Mississippi, mm-hmm. Louisiana, any of these states where Zika is likely to become endemic. They're just not going to go. So it's good for the northern states, because you will probably see more people trying to get up here. And it's bad for the southern states, some of which are already grappling with crippling poverty. I'd move out of Mississippi now.
And if we're talking now about taking away tourism, some of these cities depend on that. If we're talking about in the Gulf Coast, a Corpus Christi, you know, down in Louisiana, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, that's a lot of money.
I'd leave Mississippi now.
Yeah.
Now. Just go.
Just, yeah. Well, in today in sports news, we learned some fans are sad over deflated footballs. Seven New England Patriots fans sued the National Football League on Tuesday, asking a judge to reverse a decision by the league to strip the team of a first-round pick in this month's draft over allegations of underinflated footballs. In a lawsuit filed with Boston Federal Court, the fans contend that the NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell acted unlawfully when he took away two draft picks as punishment for the Deflategate scandal, in which a team was accused of manipulating balls to better meet star quarterback Tom Brady's preference in the 2015 playoff game against the Indianapolis Colts. In the suit, this group, referred to as, quote, New England Patriots fans, in the court documents, listed emotional stress and the violation of the RICO Act, Racketeering Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's legit. That's in there. The RICO Act, a charge typically levied against mob bosses. In addition to the racketeering charges, the group also claimed that the league violated the Massachusetts Consumer Protection Act and is guilty of fraud, negligence, and breach of contract in its investigation and subsequent punishment for the Patriots. Now, once you thought we were over talking about Deflategate, it's back.
This is why every football fan...
I honestly, Derek, I thought this was a joke when I first read it.
Is why every football fan outside of New England hates us.
But listen.
This is why they hate us. And I will say this to all the football fans from outside of New England. You are right to do so. You should hate us. We are a bunch of... privileged.
I thought this was an Onion, sports story.
Privileged, undeserving, endless whiners who should be satisfied to go to the Super Bowl 6 times in 10 years and win 4 of them. But no.
But you say everybody outside of New England. In this case, one of the persons involved is from Florida.
Florida is Massachusetts South. We have an annex down there.
So the people involved in the case are from Massachusetts, Connecticut. I think there's somebody from Maine, maybe a Vermont, Florida.
If I got to read one more story about this guy who can't tell his 7-year-old daughter to shut up and move on with her life,
yes,
because she's so upset about a missing draft pick. I mean, come on, guy.
One of the daughters of the men involved are claiming that his daughter is so upset over this that she has decided to not become a Patriots fan anymore. She's changing teams because she is completely appalled by the whole situation and has created, tension in the home.
She's 7.
But again, Derek, racketeering, influence, and corporate corrupt organization.
Listen, act. I got no.
I mean, is this, an episode of Sopranos? Was this part of Goodfellas? Because I think that might have been in it.
I got no problem at all with bringing up Roger Goodell on RICO charges. I think it should be done. Maybe not for this, but I'm sure there is something there somewhere.
Now, they're
FIFA's getting blown up. UEFA's getting blown up. The South American football is getting blown up. Everybody's doping. Don't tell me Roger Goodell is clean.
But all of these people are actually, this is legit. And they find legitimacy to it, which is crazy. But here's the thing. You see this going into court, and it is going to be appearing in the next month because it's being expedited.
They look like a bunch of spoiled whiners.
But here, hear me out. Does this now put the idea in somebody else's head that is a fan and maybe doesn't like how their team's being run, gets a group of people to sue the NHL, the NFL? Oh, one of my star players got caught taking PEDs. You know what? I disagree with that. I don't think he did. I'm going to sue the league.
You would need to prove, and this is the one thing that they might have to stand on this. There has been enough reporting that's come out that said Roger Goodell was deliberately out to get the New England Patriots. That if you brought all of that in to bear on the case, you might be able to show bias that created a conspiracy. You might be able to do that. And certainly... there's half a dozen NFL owners that want to see the Patriots never win another game.
Now, didn't you have a guy during the Spygate scandal suing the Patriots? Or
yes.
It shows that one fought.
Well, that was a fan suing, saying that the integrity of the game had been ruined, and that got thrown out.
Yeah.
This is a different situation.
What's interesting is Robert Kraft is actually involved in being sued as well.
Well, they're suing him, and more people should, I think. I don't know why, but just go sue Robert
Kraft. Yeah, you should sue over not being able to go to the Winter Classic.
I have a feeling that if you sue Robert Kraft, you don't have to worry about your season tickets anymore. I have a very strong feeling that the people who are suing, who are season ticket holders, are not going to have their season tickets come opening day.
Yeah.
Because if I'm Robert Kraft...
I think you're going to get blacklisted from Gillette.
If I'm Robert Kraft and people are suing me, I don't want them in my stadium. That's a privilege. That's not a right. And as a private businessman, he is well within his rights, I believe, to take their season tickets away.
Reading more into this, it's absolutely hilarious. It's laughable, though.
It would be it would be laughable if we weren't already the most hated fans in the NFL. We are the most hated fans in the NFL, and this is a bad look. Because the reason we're the most hated fans in the NFL is everybody says, you're a bunch of spoiled, privileged bandwagon fans who whine and cry every time the slightest thing goes wrong with your team. You put out a mediocre product and somehow win in a bad division and then claim that everyone in the world is out to get you. And those are all legitimate criticisms. So what do we have? We have a bunch of fans living up to the stereotype, and now those of us who go to games and those of us who talk about football with people from other places are going to have to listen to, hey, have you sued the NFL lately for the next five seasons?
You just keep piling it on.
For the next five seasons. This was avoidable. You didn't just bring this upon yourselves.
Like when you get in a car accident and you get, you know, fined for a few years, if you don't have any more accidents, you lose it. But constantly we have more controversies. So we keep just adding on the number of years that people are going to be talking about us, other than Patriots fans.
You brought this on every member of Patriot Nation. And you should have asked first, because if you'd asked first, I believe the majority of us would have said
no. It probably was. It was a Barstool survey. Do you think we should sue the NFL? And then some genius gets an idea. Hey, let me get a few fans. I'll get on a message board, see who I can connect with. Oh, we got Larry down in Florida. He'll help. Oh, we got the kid involved, you know, from the guy in Maine. He's in.
I haven't seen Barstool connected to this yet. Although this is cockamamie enough to have come from Barstool Sports.
Of course. It's probably, you know,
stop.
Felger throwing out the most insane idea. Somebody actually listened.
That would involve Felger actually
thinking.
We're still waiting for that to happen. Unless somebody writes down the hot take for him, it's just not coming.
So again, hopefully this is the last time we talk about Deflategate.
WMFO Medford. It's not, because now this is going through the courts. We got Brady's thing going through the courts. Yeah. Just stop. It's a fourth round pick.
Emotional distress.
Who cares?
Derek, I'm scarred. Every night I sob.
Who cares about a fourth round pick?
In the dark. Yeah.
Name the last fourth round pick that amounted to anything for the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
Well, there is one. There is one. It's kind of a big one, but just that one.
In entertainment news, we learned some women do not like to be called plus size. Comedian Amy Schumer took to Instagram Tuesday to blast Glamour magazine for including her.
No, I can't. Why are we giving her airtime?
This is interesting.
This is not interesting.
Maybe not to you, but to many women.
This is a shameless self-promoter finding another way to shameless self-promote, and I just...
I think it's shameless promoting from the magazine.
A show on WMFO Medford, which I need to say...
Don't even say the story doesn't have integrity.
We're better than this.
No, it's not.
We're better than this. There are so many things we could be talking about. Merle Haggard is dead, and we're giving Amy Schumer airtime.
I'm going to continue with my story. In entertainment news, we learned some women don't like to be called plus size. Comedian Amy Schumer took to Instagram Tuesday to blast Glamour magazine for including her in a special plus size edition without asking for her permission first. Schumer is featured among actresses Melissa McCarthy, Ashley Graham, and Adele in Glamour magazine's first ever plus size issue, which hit newsstands last week for more than double the price of the standard issue. Quote, "I think there's nothing wrong with being plus size," Schumer wrote on Tuesday. "Beautiful, healthy women. Plus size is considered size 16 in America. I go between size 6 and 8. At Glamour Mag, put me in the plus size only issue without asking or letting me know doesn't feel right to me. Young girls seeing my body type think that this is plus size. What are your thoughts?" Now, Glamour Magazine actually did respond to it. And the reason why I bring this up is because initially you assume this is just for her to show off. Absolutely. Of course, she's going to go all over.
Of course it is.
But what's interesting about it, did you even think about the side of the magazine using her name? What do you think that having her name in a plus size magazine isn't going to connect it to plus size? But when you come out and give this false statement of saying, "Oh, we weren't insinuating that you were plus size. We were just saying that we really like your position on how great you feel in your skin and body."
You mean the statement that Amy Schumer subsequently agreed with and said, "Oh, it's okay"?
That's after she was getting knocked for
no, that. That's because, that, look.
No, because she was getting shamed on half of her comments and saying, "What, you think this is plus size? What's wrong with plus
you
size?"
You just fell victim to everything that this show stands against, which is marketing as news. That's all this is. This is Amy Schumer trying to build her brand. This is GQ trying to sell magazines. Let's have a Twitter fight, and everyone will talk about it.
I think it's more from the Glamour magazine side.
No, it's marketing.
No, absolutely.
It's marketing. That's all it is.
Oh, so they both agreed to this and said, "Hey, we're going to start a Twitter war on it."
What?
But you don't think it speaks volumes to the fact that we have a plus size magazine solely for that, a special issue?
It's a.
And talking about how body image is such a huge thing right now.
It's a best of, and the whole it's all reprints. There isn't any original content in it other than the cover. And the only reason they put Amy Schumer in there is because half of her act is about body issues.
You completely take out. Well, of course, you take out her as an actress. You take out the magazine. What's the main focus on it? The fact that we have, you know, a magazine that promotes itself as this beautiful, glamorous model has a special edition plus size category.
Well, so does Vogue. So they all do now.
That's the problem. This is what I'm pointing out, that we still, in today's day and age, look at this and saying plus size is a 6 and an 8.
Okay, then let's talk about that and not talk about Amy Schumer.
But this is how it's brought up.
It doesn't matter how it's brought up.
But an intelligent person's going to have the conversation about body issues
no,
in
magazines.
No, they're
not. They're going to
be like,
"Oh my God, did you see that they called Amy Schumer fat? Oh my God, who did that? Glamour did that. Oh my God, I'm not buying Glamour anymore."
Yeah, maybe you're
wait. You got to go buy Glamour to see what they said about Amy Schumer. Oh my God, did you see the new Amy Schumer TV show?
Derek, maybe
oh
you're
my
average
God, I love 22-year-old
that uses Facebook as a reliable news source. Absolutely. But me, who is intelligent, and I actually read the story, and it shows light again on body issues in entertainment, in media, and the fact that Amy Schumer had to be brought into it. I can ignore all that, and I'm not going to go look on her Instagram or her Twitter and see the responses. That's why I didn't know her response to the statement, because I don't care enough. But what I do care about is the actual issue that's going on, that we have one issue that we charge extra money for, plus size.
That isn't even
new
content.
That's wrong. That is wrong.
They should call it Fat Girls Special.
So that's why I'm bringing it up. Not over her, not over the response.
But the only thing that I got out of that coverage yesterday, and I use that word loosely, is the fact that Amy Schumer's agent...
Yeah, but you're the one that knew all the responses to it, so you're actually reading up on it.
Amy Schumer's agent and the PR director from Cosmo, was it Cosmo that did this?
Glamour.
Glamour. That Amy Schumer's agent and the PR director from Glamour apparently have cocktails together. because this was cooked up ahead of time. There is no question this was cooked up ahead of time. When you have two public entities fake feuding over a tiny misunderstanding that everybody else gets, it's a setup. This is a setup from the very beginning. And if you want to talk about the fact that Cosmo is coming out with their annual fat girl issue, which, if they called it that, would blow everything up. But let's face it, in their eyes, that's what it is.
Yeah, but nobody would, this wouldn't even be in the news. Nobody would even know about it unless they went into their magazine store and saw.
No, because now you're onto the truth. Nobody would know about it. Nobody would care that this magazine was even out there if Amy Schumer didn't go to war with them on Twitter.
No, absolutely. But what I'm saying, so they're shedding light on the disgrace of having a specific issue just for fat girls.
No, everybody's on board with the fat girl issue of Cosmo. Yeah. They are, or Glamour. That's it. Everybody thinks the issue is great. This is about body positivity
and diversity.
Who's saying
that? Is it the same people that are responding to the Amy Schumer comments and everything? I mean, who are you using as... Because as...
I can't tell anymore because it depends on which message board you go to. It's a marketing story. We don't do marketing stories on this show. I'll pull you off the entertainment beat if you don't stop. You get one free one.
Go on, Derek.
That was a bad... That was... Just don't mention Amy Schumer.
Go on.
Ever. In technology news. This is a marketing story. Facebook Live launched and immediately crashed. See, this is marketing gone wrong, so that's good. Facebook Live launched and immediately crashed. The live stream of Facebook's new video streaming feature, which was being watched by 118,000 people, crashed seconds after it began, forcing Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg and the team to relaunch it from the live video development room. When Facebook Live becomes available to all users later this year, it will allow them to capture and post live video to their news feeds directly from their smartphones. Facebook touts the service as a new way for people to connect, but behind the scenes, the initiative is viewed as a way for Facebook to deliver more lucrative video advertising.
Ugh.
So all of this about capture your child's first moments.
So basically,
you have
live video of your surroundings. So that is all pulled into the algorithms on the computer, and advertisers are picking up different brands in your pictures and then advertising to you.
Junior's First Steps, brought to you by Coca-Cola. Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
Essentially.
Yeah, there's no...
Use your camera all day, every day, so you can show everybody what you're doing. No. You're showing us. You're showing all the advertisers that are paying us millions of dollars to see what you're doing.
And I mean, here's the thing. On some level, this is what you sign up for with Facebook. Facebook is giving you, this is a very expensive thing to figure out.
Shame on you. You put on a video, you put in a picture, it's out there. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that, oh, it's protected because it's under your Facebook page. No, anybody can take it. Anybody can manipulate your pictures.
Right.
And do what they want with it.
Facebook's already worked out that part of it,
too. You never put anything you want online that you wouldn't want shared or shown to every single person in the entire world.
That's upset a few people, by the way, about the Oculus Rift. The VR thing that came out last week is anything that you record and upload to Oculus, they can do anything they want with.
Mm-hmm.
You lose all rights to anything that you upload to it.
Did we copyright that Tinder Oculus app
yet? I don't think we have yet, and we need to do that. But it's kind of what you sign up for. But Facebook, the thing I hate about this, I love the fact that it crashed. Which is the only reason that I would cover this story in the first place, is the fact that it didn't work, because streaming has been crashing for as long as there's been streaming on the internet. This is 20 years of crashing streams. There should be a compilation reel done of this, beginning with the Rolling Stones showing up for the Windows 95 launch that nobody could watch. They go on and on about, oh, we've got this revolutionary new way to communicate, and it's all sunshine and roses, and it's all share the moments of your life, and here's a new way to communicate, and let's watch video all day long. When really, what they're doing is they're sitting there saying, we need money, we need money, we need money, we need money.
It's the same thing when you're using, you know, the Xbox Live and you have to switch it off. It's constantly recording everything you do. It's watching what you're eating while you're playing the game. So then you're wondering why you're getting advertisements for Chips Ahoy and Doritos popping up. It knows.
Believe me, once they figure out a way to stick ads in the middle of video games, they'll do that too.
No one. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
How's this snow working out for you?
I hate it. I hate seeing it. Ugh.
Normally, I say April needs more ape in it. There's too much ape in this April already. Way, way too much ape. And it gets... No, it's not much better. Temperatures in the mid-30s overnight tonight. Showers roll in any minute now, so you can look forward to that. Rain pretty much all day tomorrow with a high of 57.
I'll take it.
Temperatures fall back into the mid-40s tomorrow night. Friday, the rain ends, the wind returns, and highs get into the lower 50s. And then you might think we get a good weekend out of this. No, unless your idea of a good weekend is partly cloudy, chance of showers, and temperatures in the mid-40s during the day, falling back below freezing Saturday and Sunday nights.
Yeah, I feel like we're going in reverse.
April.
Or that one week where we had a couple 70-degree days.
Yeah.
I feel like that was summer.
You remember that? Yeah.
Now we're already back in winter.
It's insane.
We were in a time warp. It was that leap day. It messed the universe up. Yeah.
One minute you're sitting there, and I was sitting there a couple of weekends ago thinking to myself, I could take the patio furniture out. Maybe it's time to bust out the table and chairs.
Yeah, I'm okay with April showers, not April snow showers.
And then
it was probably one of the worst days driving on Monday all winter.
I almost fell on the stairs at work from the snow all over everything. And then I had to come home and snow blow.
Yeah.
In April. Mm-hmm. Snow blowing in April is not cool.
No.
Not cool.
After I've already been to the beach 2 weeks ago.
We get snow in April, 3 inches or more. It's happened 17 times in the last 150 odd years. So rare. Lucky us. I want spring. 617-627-3800. When we come back, did you hear some more of the current events shaping our world right here on WMFO Medford?
Red light, stop. Green light, go. Every symbol has a meaning, even those symbols on the meat sold in your grocery store. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist, U.S. Department of Agriculture. The purple shield with the letters USDA and the word prime, choice, or good is your sign of quality. Quality that's been checked by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prime means it's the top grade and usually the most expensive. Choice, the grade you'll see in most stores, is also very high in quality. If the meat has been graded for quality, you'll know that it has also passed a strict inspection for wholesomeness. You'll see the symbol for wholesomeness, a round purple inspection mark, on wholesale cuts of meat and packaged meat products. For more information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Okay, gang. So, chances are there'll never be an emergency ever, ever again.
Mm-hmm.
But, just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
So, who's gonna do what? Anyone? Yeah, okay, perfect. We'll figure it out as we go. So, who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Ah, good point. So, we all know who to call if something happens then, right?
I'd have to call Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
And I will try to call all of you, but Greg doesn't have a cell phone. Dad's phone will have a dead battery.
No doubt.
And Julie will be on the phone with Jill, Devin, Melissa, Karen, and Bruce.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols. And we are here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, we want you to be a part of the show. And you can do that. You can do that by giving us a call at 617-627-3800. And it's time for Did You Hear? It's the part of the show where Derek and I go back and forth. We give each other one word, a name, a couple words, and we have to guess what the story in the past few days in the news has been because we're completely non-competitive co-hosts and it doesn't matter who wins. So,
and Lisa already hates me tonight for going off on the Amy Schumer thing. So, so this will be
I'm so glad. I know I got one softball in there, but
actually, you know what's interesting is one thing that'll be interesting about this is last week we pretty much hit all of them because it was such a slow news week that we were out all over the place. This week, I know we've both spent a lot of time reading up on the Panama Papers, so I don't know if we've seen any of the other stuff that's going on. But
all right, I will begin. Derek Gary, your first one, PayPal.
PayPal has announced that they will not be opening a new service center in North Carolina because they do not support North Carolina's new wildly discriminative bill about transgender individuals.
That is true. Now, other companies, Google, Apple, Microsoft, sports teams have also been involved in this. They're not happy.
No.
Not cool with the measure. All right. What do you got?
This is an easy one. Mic drop.
Why? I know this. Mic drop. I don't know.
I'll give you a hint. Minions.
Minions?
Yes.
So the movie.
No, but there was a minion involved in this.
I don't know. I hate the sound effects. I'm going to say that right now.
Everybody loves the sound effects.
No. Nope.
It's a very morning zoo. Mic drop was the Google April Fool's Day prank embedded in Gmail that was rolled out, that was taken down before many people got to work on the East Coast Friday morning because of massive backlash, including one gentleman by the name of Alan Pashby, who says that he lost his job after accidentally clicking the mic drop feature. As Google advertised it, clicking mic drop instead of send would send an animated GIF of a minion dropping the microphone as a way of ending an email conversation.
That's amazing.
And it would then prevent you from seeing any additional replies in that email. So, yeah.
That's it.
Didn't work out as intended.
All right. Thomas Staggs.
Thomas Staggs. That's not the guy in Detroit.
This is at the bottom of one of the publications I know you read. He was a favorite contender to lead Disney after Robert Iger's retirement unexpectedly announced on Monday that he is leaving the company. He's staying with the company as an advisor, but he will not be moving forward to take over the company. Now, we're talking about the world's largest entertainment company. You know whose name is being floated around? Sheryl Sandberg.
Really?
You may know her as she's now COO of Facebook. She used to work with Google and she wrote the book Lean In.
She's looking for something to do these days, isn't she?
She actually is on the Walt Disney Company Women for Women International Center for Global Change Committee. That's a thing, apparently. But her name's been, floated around.
I don't necessarily have a problem with Sheryl Sandberg.
Interesting.
Not as much as I do with what's-her-face over at Yahoo.
One who said have the baby in the office.
The one that's running it into the ground. Why can't I remember her name?
Michelle.
It's not Michelle. Is it? No.
I think it's Michelle.
No. It's something else. Now I have to go Google Yahoo to figure out who it is. It's Marissa Meyer.
I got Bam.
Yeah.
It was close.
Yes. I knew it was one of those weird names.
All right.
Okay. Disneyland Paris.
Disneyland Paris is not opening. Or they're delaying it.
It was closed, but I need more than that.
Something with funds and money, they couldn't open back up.
No. You missed this one?
Yeah.
This has sort of been making the rounds, like middle of the front page. A Disneyland Paris employee was found dead in the Phantom Manor.
Yes, in the house. Yes. I saw this.
I
didn't read the article, but I assumed it was in the United States.
The 45-year-old worker apparently died of electrocution while replacing a light in Phantom Manor. Phantom Manor was closed for a couple of days while the Disney Corporation investigated. It is only the second death ever at Disneyland Paris.
Ugh, I hate when you bring them up and then I remember instantly.
That's, yeah.
All right, Twitter.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Do
big
I get,
story, though.
Do I get half credit for that?
Nope. Big story today.
Twitter. Twitter is going to be live streaming NFL games come this fall. I saw this story and I started asking myself, what's it going to be like watching an NFL game on a 6-second Vine?
Right. Yeah, so Twitter scored the rights to live stream 10 Thursday night games. So for Twitter, they apparently bid out companies like Amazon and Facebook. Facebook's really pushing on that live feature. The deal, they're saying, is a chance to jumpstart. Their numbers have been going down. They wanted to extend the 143 characters. People didn't like it. Stocks went down, whatnot. So they think they'll tap into the international audience. They reportedly paid $10 million. So we're talking about $1 million each for a Thursday game. Yeah.
That's not that bad, actually.
On Twitter. We're not talking about watching it on TV.
No.
We're talking about Twitter.
In terms of what they're paying for it, that's not that bad.
But how is it going to be cut? Is it going to be a complete live stream?
Oh, yeah. I'd imagine it will be a complete live stream and you can tweet along while you watch the game. There are a lot of sports fans who tweet. This might be a good idea for them. I don't know. It gets them into that whole video advertising space that Facebook is coveting, that
now,
everybody's
who
coveting.
Who owns the Thursday night games?
The NFL. The NFL Network.
So now are they not going to be played on Fox or...
Ultimately, the NFL owns all the games and licenses the right to air them out to the networks.
Haven't they already licensed them out?
Last season, they hit a deal with CBS to broadcast half of the Thursday night season. Mm-hmm. And then I think a couple of games at the end of the season.
Now, wouldn't you think, knowing that there is going to be another medium that's going to be able to air your... air the games that you bought the rights to, price be a little bit cheaper?
No, because it's not like you're going to put that up on your TV and watch that. If you've got a choice between...
It's a valid response.
If I'm CBS and I've got broadcast of an NFL game, I'm not worried about people watching on Twitter. If I am the NFL Network or ESPN and I have a game on cable that isn't available on broadcast, I would be worried.
Mm-hmm.
Because now, people who aren't paying for my network are getting this content. That's a bigger issue. Thursday night games are terrible to begin with. No one likes them. They should go away. The players don't like them. The coaches don't like them. The fans don't like them.
Yeah, especially if you're playing Sunday and into a Thursday.
Yeah, it's not good for anybody, and it needs to stop. And putting it on Twitter will just make people angrier about it, because that's where you go to be angry, is Twitter. So maybe this will hasten the demise of Thursday night football, in which case I thoroughly support it. WMFO Medford, I need to say that. This, I'll be surprised if you don't get this one. I will. It's a sports one.
All right.